Tyler Van Dyke really is completely validating my belief that you should never, ever trust a quarterback with three names.
You know that's not how that works, right?
It is how this works.
Does Neil O'Donnell have three names?
Yes, he
Theoretically,
does.
yeah.
He does have three names,
Neil
Brian.
O'Donnell.
Miami was so sure they were going to just come in and fucking blow the doors off this team. They were positive.
Were they?
Miami
They
Twitter was
kind
so positive they were
yeah.
going to come in and
Oh,
blow the doors off.
the additional noun there.
Sorry. You're right. You're right. I should have rephrased that.
Probably the greatest disparity at all times between online confidence and the confidence of the people who actually have to do the task.
Yeah, that's QAnon you're listening to.
Wow.
The revolution's going to happen any minute now. Tyler Van Dyke's going to throw for 300. We're going to blow him out in College Station,
I
baby.
didn't know the revolution had a 4-drink minimum.
This is the kind of optimism it takes to be a Dolphins fan for like 25 years or some shit.
It is. No, and honestly, like, the parallels
Jay
go
Fiedler's
beyond
the answer.
Dante Culpepper with one leprous knee.
You just put a little, scope it out, put a little aquarium in there. That's correctable.
All right, are we ready? Are we doing this? Got your NF Tuck ready?
I can't believe. Yeah, when they say that the shoes are identical to ones that he wore in a game, can we like specify that it not be this game? Or do we get to pick?
I don't think you do. It's unfortunate. The market will pick for you.
Penn State Auburn. That's really what I want to talk about.
So many. Today was so long.
Penn State Auburn. All day.
And yet you didn't put it in the damn sheet, you coward.
Make me a speaker.
That was a very good, not commercial, but like
computer voice?
Software starting up voice, yeah.
For men.
Yep. It says, I'm a speaker. We're
Yeah,
just
I'm a
waiting on
speaker as
Ollie.
well.
I'm not a
We're all
speaker. I
speakers.
shouldn't be a speaker.
All of us are speakers.
Thank you, Doug, for going in order of importance.
I'm a subwoofer. That's not true.
You're built like a subwoofer.
I'm a tweeter.
Mr. Tweeter. I call this guy Harris Tweeter.
Wow. You can't start off with that kind of heat. How are we supposed to?
That's probably somebody on the NC State roster, if we're being honest.
Subtweeter. Yeah, Subtweeter. He's a DB.
Holly, you're muted in there.
Well, shit. Oh my God, Dan Le Vitard's listening. That can't be right. He's past his bedtime. Go to bed, boss.
Hi, Jane.
I'm just kidding, Juju. Hey, Juju. Hey, Jane.
Hi, Josh. I'm just scrolling, yes. Seeing who we got.
Jane's in here. Billy's in here. Vic's in here. Stephanie's in here. Josh Black. Rachel. Choco Taco.
Hi, Brian.
What's up, Susan? What's up, Stephanie? Oh, we got a whole cavalcade of people in here.
Cattle what?
Cavalcade. Second time I've used the word cavalcade today. The first describing the entire end zone at South Carolina being blocked by, I don't know, a bunch of ladies. I think they were being honored for women's sports, and they decided to honor the end zone by actually putting someone from South Carolina in it. That was pretty cool.
I think this is a great physical representation of why women don't belong in football.
Why don't we do baptisms during games?
Clemson would like a word.
Yeah, speaking of the state of South Carolina, we're over 1,000.
Oh, there we go.
Miami is continuing its what would be a 99-yard touchdown drive because Jimbo insisted on punting from like the Miami 41 on 4th and 3.
That's not even the dumbest punt. That's not even the dumbest kick yard line we've had today.
No, there's plenty of dumb shit today.
God, there's so much dumb shit today. Spencer, we're over 1,000. Do the thing.
Forecast After Dark for men.
Welcome to the full cast after dark.
honk shoe or a like snort me guy?
I'm a honk shoe. Okay. I'm a honk shoe.
Yeah, I'm a snore me guy. I also have a little candle by my bedside and a little nightcap.
The floppy one?
The floppy one, yeah. Put that on. I can't sleep without it.
I gotta assume if you wore pajamas, you would catch on fire. I assume you run that hot, that if you went to bed in like full pajamas, you would like wake up with a sunburn, basically.
If I go to bed in full pajamas, you can slide a turkey in there with me, and in the morning, ew, done to perfection.
Now, when you say in there,
low and slow is what he means.
In my butt.
That's how you put it. That's how you put the turkey in Spencer. Low and slow.
Welcome, folks.
Low and slow.
Welcome the more than 1,000 of you who just heard that.
Yes. Yes.
You will now not be sleeping tonight, so you might as well stay here with us.
It's safe.
It's week three. It's week three. You're going to get talk about turkeys being put in the wrong places, or maybe in the oh-so-right places. You are listening to me. I am Spencer Hall. We also have, in order of geographic distance, Ryan Nanny in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee.
Go Doors!
Go Doors! That is correct.
Playoff pick, bitches.
Don't sleep on them. Don't laugh. That Vanderbilt got a dub today, and as somebody whose team also got a win, we are exactly the same, with exactly the same expectations. Congratulations to us both. Y'all, it was week three. This is, you get weird.
It is. What do you mean
three.
Was? It still it is.
Hawaii hadn't even kicked off yet. Watch your mouth.
A&M Miami is still going on right now.
A&M Miami.
No, this
Arizona has barely begun to lose to North Dakota.
SEC honk Spencer Hall says week three is over.
This game's over. Come on. Like, it's cute. It's cute that we think Miami's going to do anything here, but Mario Cristobal's going to kick two more field goals.
Eastern Michigan is beating Arizona State. Acknowledge.
Acknowledge.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Wait, what?
Acknowledge, yes. E.
That's acknowledge. Great.
That's beautiful. I love that.
That's perverse, and I like it. That is deep kink. I'm impressed.
Please don't say deep kink again.
Deep.
No.
I can still only hear like every other word he's saying.
I think deep kink refers to the turkey.
Deep kink.
I think it's better this way, Holly.
Yeah. If he's going to keep talking like that, that's fine.
The Lord is providing. Can we get one unpleasant thing out of the way?
Yep.
Yes.
Georgia's going to win the national title. Yep. Just go ahead. Going to happen. Jetson Bennett's going to win the Heisman. Just go ahead. Say it's going to happen.
Now, is...
Yeah,
I realize that's more personally upsetting to you than the possibility that
Jetson Bennett winning the Heisman. No,
not that.
That
who cares about
great.
That part? Yeah, the that Heisman's whatever. Yeah. The title. Yeah. Georgia winning the title, I recognize would be more personally upsetting for you than Ohio State winning the title, particularly because you're an Ohio State fan at the moment.
Yeah. Sure.
But do you acknowledge Ohio State as like the team that could challenge Georgia, or are you writing them off as well?
Gosh,
I'm gonna write them off.
Well, of course you are. You're paid by the SEC.
Is the more emotionally balanced thing to do to have belief in yourself or to be humble? I don't know. I'm a little lost here.
Not to be humble so much as to be pragmatic.
I will say, out of respect for the current title holder, I have to assume that, inertia being what it is, the universe will continue in the direction it's already been flowing. And my job is to just live in that river of time, not to fight against it. Go Bucks.
Wait, yeah. You say that, but you don't think Tennessee is going to lose to Florida next week?
We don't have to talk about that game.
Oh, we're not.
No, we don't have to talk about that game until it's absolutely necessary to talk about that game. I think
Mondays
Brian's right.
Seven on the SEC Network.
Can I ask one question that I think other people would like to know as well?
Nobody actually wants to know about this.
Is there a point for you, Holly, at which you would say, okay, yes, I will now allow myself some level of confidence in this version of Tennessee football?
I do have confidence. It's just not in the direction that some people would like.
Okay. Okay.
You will feel confident when, like, the clock elapses.
Uh-huh.
And runs out.
In the
correct?
Car on the way home, I will uncross my arms.
That's very Apollo 11 of you. It's like, not until we're back on Earth, fuckers.
Yeah, I got a real... I think Tennessee football should be best approached in the manner it's approached by Scott Glenn in The Right Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just grit your teeth and put the biggest needles in that you can find.
Note this team that we're talking about right now won 63-6 today.
Akron!
Whereas
163-6. There are teams. There are teams that won by far fewer points today.
Okay, they also struggled with Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh struggled with Western Michigan today.
How would you say Auburn didn't necessarily win by fewer points today? What would you say that they did today?
Ooh. Goodness.
What is the thesis statement here? Is what I would ask PhD candidate Brian Harsin. What are you trying to do? What is any of this? What are you trying?
More like THD. I hope
the answer is medical fraud. I hope the answer is medical fraud is what we're trying to do here. Miami has kicked a field goal. It's now 9-7.
That's one of two.
Okay, Mario looks tonight with his hair like this, like if you gave Timothy Oliphant the not super soldier serum,
the Bane cocktail.
I was going to say the serum that created Abomination.
Sure.
Yeah. The handsome serum.
Timothy
That's
Swoliphant.
Right.
Timothy Oliphant.
Timothy Swoliphant.
The Oliphant.
The fucked up thing about the Penn State Auburn game is that almost
Singular.
Everybody on that's fair. Almost everybody online who's an Auburn fan is like, good. Fucking great. Like, yes. Please. This boat cannot burn fast enough. Please, more kerosene. I demand it.
So when the Andrea Doria was hit by the Stockholm and began to sink, mm-hmm. they actually did a really good job getting everyone off the boat after the initial disaster of the hit. And when they did, they had to convince the captain to leave because he was this old school guy.
Because he was Italian.
Who really thought, I have to go down,
to
with,
go
the
down
ship.
With the ship.
Even though they're like, we have hours. You can go. You've done everything. We've already got your stuff, right? You
so
can
this
go.
Was a real, this was a real issue with the Italian Navy during World War II, like stopping the captains from committing suicide.
Yeah, they were all about it. They were like, yo, it is so cool to do this. Like, eventually the Italian Navy had to be like, we're running out of you. Please stop dying with the ships.
I assumed in that case it was because they were like, oh, a sexy mermaid will save me.
No, oh, it's more like I will return to the depths and become the sexy mermaid of my own dreams.
Be the sexy mermaid you want to see in the world.
Drive around in my underwater Alfa Romeo, right, with my beautiful mermaid mistress, smoking underwater.
The dream. That's it.
The dream.
They should have just told them that. You can't smoke underwater.
Accidenti.
It'd be like, you know where I don't have to pay taxes? Down here.
Hey,
But the point being, no, everybody was like, you're a good captain. Mm-hmm. You should come with us. You did your job. No one's doing that with Harsin. Like, if the SS Auburn is about to sink and he's like, I have to go down with the ship, they're like, well, you got to do what you
got
to do,
they're
bro.
Like, cool, I got handcuffs, I got duct tape.
Do you want us to make sure you stay in there?
I know
we
several
can bolt,
knots.
We can bolt the door, yeah.
I can knock you out if that's easier.
Yeah, can I have your stuff?
Why didn't they just fucking fire him over the summer like they were trying to do?
Well, remember, they had to get rid of the AD first.
Why?
This is the most Auburn thing ever, that the AD, who was on the hook for him, got fired, so now they have to shift everything over in this effort to get him fired. Also, they didn't really have anyone that they had in mind that they could agree on. Remember,
that has never stopped Auburn from making a bad decision. That has never... Auburn will 100% quit a job without having a new one lined up.
I got like $900 in the bank. It's cool. I can coast on that for a while. You know, a little bit of ramen, a little bit of like Netflix. I got to cancel Hulu, but you know.
I can OnlyFans. Look at me. Yeah. I can do it. Penn State just beat the fuck out of them.
Oh, Penn State. Absolutely. I want you to paraphrase Treblaw. Penn State ate that shit. That's Treblaw is fond of saying that about the opponent of the day. And it was absolutely true. They were They were beaten. And I don't mean like usually it's like, oh, maybe they committed a bunch of turnovers and mistakes. They got short fields,
etc. They did. They did do those things.
They did do those things. But Penn State ran them over. This is not the kind of like fluky team gave up loss that I think maybe Auburn fans could live with structurally if they thought there was something better around the corner. No. No, they got pounded. They got hammered.
Penn State averaged 6.28 yards per carry in this game, and I believe over 10 in the second half.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
It's bad.
Also, yeah. Also, Sean Clifford ate you up. That's not good. Sean Clifford is a fine quarterback. I don't know if he's the kind of guy who should go on the road. Did you see he did get nailed on that first drive, and there were a bunch of people online saying, like, welcome to the SEC, Sean Clifford.
Oh, boy. Yeah, because,
well,
like...
Welcome
cause, like,
to real football.
Penn State quarterbacks are typically not used to being, like, flattened every 5 minutes. It's definitely not a thing that happens to them constantly.
Literally named a prayer out of, like, one of them two quarterbacks ago.
Bet you never been hit by a bicycle. Bitch, I had a bus fall on me every week.
Every week.
Penn State, welcome to our 90,000 seat stadium. Bet you never seen one of these before.
Christian Hackenberg basically is the ship of Theseus at this point.
Yeah. Just put another part on there, theoretically. It's still Christian Hackenberg.
Is he still a Jet? Because this would make him a seaplane.
No, I think he's a coach in high school.
God, that's 25. Good.
Thank
Get
God.
Get him out of harm's way. Get him out of harm's way.
Yeah. It's for the best.
20 years ago, somebody bet James Franklin he couldn't win 9 to 10 games a year without an offensive line. And he said, brother, I'll make you pay that wager every year.
And yet, Auburn was the one that doesn't have an offensive line in this game.
Yeah, not at all.
They gave up not six sacks. They had 12 possessions in this game, and they only got one sack. There wasn't a possession where they had more than one sack given up. So 50% of the time they were going to give up a sack.
Auburn was sad that James Franklin didn't have a good chance to fuck this game up.
Yeah, no, they took
Which
it out
is
of
real
they...
weird. No, I mean like time. I mean, I don't mean throughout. I mean like some weird clock management thing.
Yes.
Or yeah.
They took it out of the Time Lord's hand.
Why am I trying to explain this to y'all?
Yeah,
you know
some
exactly
some weird
I'm
thing where
about.
He's like he took a timeout on an extra point. That's fucking weird. Why did he do that? Mm. Then he just kicked. He took a delay a game.
Yeah, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter. That's how bad Auburn was. Auburn also, their best player offensively is Tank Bigsby. How many carries did Tank Bigsby have in this game?
10, 12,
4.
You are over. Holly is closer. 9. 9. Tank Bigsby had 9 carries in this game. Total. They weren't down that. They weren't out of it and down that fast, y'all.
No, it was what? It was the 14-6 at half?
Yeah. Yeah. 14-6.
The second half of this game was, oh, boy. There were a lot of teams who had some unfortunate second halves today.
It happens to a lot of teams.
It does.
There's no shame in it, Mississippi State. There is shame in it, actually. There's
there,
no
like this is what a weird day, because there's just so many absolute ass-whooping blowouts, which really magnifies the teams, particularly the good teams that could not achieve that specific that specific standard. Like, you go through the scores, it's like 63-7, 77-21, 49-14, 59-0, 38-27. What happened there, Arkansas?
Uh-huh.
That's not a very big guy. Oh, Michigan State, you're on the wrong side of those numbers. But
Arkansas football had my favorite social media post of the day, which is, how do you address almost losing to Bobby Petrino's Missouri State game? And their answer is to post the score and then the caption, okay, well, Hogs win.
This was definitely the first time it's absolutely the first time it's ever happened. A top 10 team on the ropes against an FCS team, and everyone is rooting for the SEC team. That is incomprehensible. Like, neutral fans are like, please don't let this asshole win. No, that can't happen. Like, I can't even imagine. And like, I guess it would have to be a coach with a scandal-plagued past like Petrino's. There are not many of those, but yeah. What a new thing to see on this Saturday.
It was full. It was full of surprises. For instance, if you look and go, hey, I bet South Carolina really like cut it loose in losing 48-7 and sort of let Spencer Rattler be Spencer Rattler and just get all over the. No, not really. They didn't even lose with flair, which is the most disappointing part. Spencer Rattler only had 118 yards passing, and he only had two interceptions. I thought you could have died a little zestier than that. Go out a little harder next time, is all I'm asking.
That was one of those where it was like, you know, I think coaches and sometimes fans are like, well, it's better to not get shut out. Is it? I think, like, what's the difference here?
I think you get shut out and you can make the argument like, see, we need reinforcements bad.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. If you get a touchdown, then
you could have done this. You agree.
Well, clearly you were able to score. Why didn't you do it again?
Yep.
This game was really weird. It was like an hour into it and people were saying like, well, I guess we can give up on South Carolina for the day. And it was like, why was that ever in dispute? Why didn't you give up on them before the kickoff? There are so many people who gave South Carolina like a quarter to prove themselves. Why did you do that?
So this was a good weekend for like shedding old notions. Like there was nothing. Alex Kirshner. Yeah.
Multi.
Well, Alex Kirshner said this about Auburn. Like there's no chaos Auburn right now. It's not a thing. They don't do anything that you're like, oh, that's some crazy. That's some weird shit. That shouldn't happen. You shouldn't be able to throw a barrel like that and no, it doesn't.
Because their chaos man is off beating BYU by 21 points.
Correct. But they don't have it. Georgia, South Carolina, you know, in not that long ago, has been one of those games. The other game that stuck out to me that was like this was Michigan-UConn because everybody's like, oh, man, Michigan fucking scheduling nobody. And it's like, guys, we are not that far removed from Michigan barely beating UConn. But things change. And now, like, Georgia, South Carolina is just like, just check the box and move on. It doesn't
matter. Hey, Bama finally got over the ULM hump. Like, it was a...
Good for them. God. I mean, let's celebrate personal growth wherever we can find it.
We were talking about this in the Channel 6 space this morning. I'm mad about the Georgia thing because I don't think... Which is reasonable given attrition. I don't think their defense is quite as much fun to watch as it was last year. And it makes – there's no room for silliness, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But Jetson Bennett just scampering and scooting and showing his mobility.
Which, by the way, Stetson Bennett was in this game up 38-0 and throwing and running after he had needed oxygen earlier in the game. Kirby, what the fuck are you trying to prove? Sit him down.
Kirby's trying to make sure my Heisman finalist wager cashes. Thank you. Thank you, coach.
You know what I think? No, I really think it's this. I think Kirby is like everything. I think Stetson is everything Kirby wanted to be.
Oh, no, I have a different theory. I think he resists.
Living vicariously through the mailman.
Oh, man, his hair looks different every day. Yo, I wish I could live that way.
Damn, he's so cool. Look at the graphics on his pickup.
Exactly. I still maintain, it's like, oh, damn, he's got a Cummins power stroke in that thing. God damn, why is Stetson so cool? He goes by the frat house and sees him, like, putting down an entire tall boy in one go and then, like, walks up and chips a putt perfectly. And it's like, damn, I wish I could have been Stetson. He's just everything.
The offense.
What were you saying, Holly?
That I think he resents watching the offense gain productive yards in practice. And so he takes it out on Stetson in games. The ball's not supposed to move that far.
120 degrees out there? Why don't you sit it? Why don't you throw another touchdown, you miserable son of a bitch? Enjoy it.
It's fucked up.
I'll put a third gigantic tight end so you have to throw a TD out there.
There was a wild trivia question in the Georgia game today. And Spencer, I know you saw this. Jason and Ryan, do you happen to know who holds the Georgia single game record for interceptions?
On the defensive side? Or
throwing
or
them?
Sorry, catching them. Making
oh.
them.
Oh. Mm. No. I
give you a hint. He was in the stadium today. It's Kirby.
All right.
Are you saying that it was as if he were inhaling them?
I assume at the time he was referred to as sneaky athletic.
This is like how Bruce Arians like held the quarterback rushing touchdown mark at Virginia Tech for a long ass time. It's like
it was like him and Mike Vick, yes. Right? It was like...
Yes.
Anyway, we should move on from this terrible game, but please just remember, I know a lot of us are having bad days out there tonight. Auburn, this is for you. No matter what happened to you today, you didn't get juked by Stetson Bennett.
You will.
Ryan, yeah. I'm trying to help.
This is the fucking... time. Like,
Ryan, you made me wake up the dog. I'm trying to help.
Was there a single moment in Auburn Penn State where you
Ryan,
thought...
Ryan, the dog is upset and it's your fault.
Where you thought... Oh, Auburn can hang with Georgia for a quarter. It's not going to happen.
But we never think that.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen.
I know, so Auburn.
Go ahead, Al.
No, I get Ryan's complaint. It's what I was griping about this morning on the Channel 6 space. There, it doesn't feel like there is any room for anything wacky to happen with this team.
Even
which sucks because Georgia is a team that is notoriously low on wackiness on a good day.
The other team on Georgia's schedule that was starting out the year like, I don't know, that's kind of interesting, was Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. Well, not fucking goodbye to that.
And this, man, this, I didn't know Will Rogers was still at... Will Rogers is 106 years old,
yeah,
and has an incredible backfield. And if they can't get past LSU, This was good. This is supposed to be the year. This was supposed to be the team. What are we doing?
Like, how many points unanswered did they give up to LSU?
Too many. If it's this year's LSU,
okay.
If it's Jaden Daniels, it's just not. That is not acceptable in any way. I know the announcers were saying.
Oh no! Sorry,
folks. If you're watching along, I would like to key your DVR. It's 3:09 to go in Miami, Texas A&M.
Miami just punted the ball. Texas A&M. Texas A&M muffed the punt, but it does appear like they've recovered. Muff is a term that they came up with to really let you know you did something disastrously uncool. Like, it's the least cool term.
See, I think it's a misnomer because muffs are cuddly. It sounds like you caught it with really soft hands.
But I think I think using it as a verb is what makes it sound super uncool.
It landed in a cradle of rabbit fur.
Like, oh, you muffed it. Like, that's something like a 3-year-old does when he misses trying to put food in his mouth.
Are you saying the term is like kind of coddling and like,
yes.
you fucked up really bad.
Little guy, you muffed that one.
Yeah.
Like, it's
instead of telling you what you really did, we made up a cutesy word for it. That's how bad it
is. Yes, it's like, oh, we call it making boom boom, not you shit yourself.
We can't even describe how bad you fucked up.
Oh.
Because you'll cry.
Right, I just realized an additional source of consternation for you. You have a son who has never known a world where Georgia didn't have a national title.
Nope.
And it looks like you're going to have to sit through another year of that. That's got to be rough on you as a parent.
That's fine. You know, we're gonna raise him as a Bucks fan, just like I am. So
smart.
Yeah. A positive Bucks fan. Which congratulations, by the way, on your outstanding win over Akron.
Thank you.
That's...
No, Spencer.
Not who they played.
Great work.
But
no, Spencer.
They played?
They defeated a much better team than Akron.
Toledo.
Okay. Yeah. Those are the same cities. Don't try to tell me they're any different.
This was the Spanish one we played, actually.
Akron.
Spanish Akron.
No.
Akron. They're both Spanish cities.
How are you alive?
I'm sorry.
Toledo is Michigan Akron.
It's the one that they actually fought a war over. Nobody's ever fought a war over Akron.
Spencer, how did you pass your driver's test?
With flying colors.
Prove he did.
Preparation's overrated.
All right.
Like I was saying, in an effort to be positive for Ryan, congratulations on your win over Toledo.
Thank you. I will tell you who was overprepared today. That's Troy. Troy, ooh. Really? Troy, really? Got the whiteboard out and figured out, did all the math and said, if X and Y and then, like, Jason, would you like to explain what the fuck happened?
This shit was spectacular. So, Troy had the ball. It was fourth down. Off the top of my head, I think it was about 27 seconds left. Troy had the ball on around the 15-20. You can punt the ball away, but I guess you risk the punt being blocked, and then App State takes the lead right then and there. Or you can go Giga Omniverse brain and run out the back of the end zone for the intentional safety.
What was the score deficit at that point?
It went from 4-2, okay. Which takes you from for App State needing more than a field goal to App State needing a field goal for the victory.
Orlovsky method.
Peeled off 7 seconds. There are numerous examples in history of intentional safeties being the smart move. 13-9 is the one that comes to mind for most college sports fans.
John Harbaugh won a dang Super Bowl with one.
Yeah. Like, there are lots of smart intentional safeties. One that takes you under 3 points being the margin. Oh, my God. It gets dumber, but let's hear this.
Did App State kick a game-winning field goal?
Well, they didn't have to because Troy fucking squib kicked it, which meant App got to start their final drive from midfield. 20 seconds to get within field goal range. Thanks to some misfires in the passing game and I think they took 3 shots. They just a Hail Mary. And thanks to the squib kick, the Hail Mary was close enough to the end zone to go in once it doinked off a few guys standing around there. So spectacular work by Troy. It was so galaxy-brained that I don't even know whether it ended up being a costly idea or not. Like,
I will just say this. I don't think you should ever take the intentional safety, because even if the math says it's wrong, I've seen it go wrong so many times. So many damn times.
It is one of those things in this case where, like, it's like, oh, they really fucked up. But it's like, yeah, they still needed basically a short volleyball game to break out for App State to win this game. So, like,
yeah, it's like, it was really close to not mattering, because, yes, you know, they were inches away from winning.
And they and App was not at all within field, like the field goal part of it,
yeah,
did not even come close to.
Thanks to some decent
in the way you thought they would have,
right,
lost because of this.
Right. Thanks to some decent defense after the bizarre idea. The terrible circumstance that they created didn't matter, but they found an even worse one. Troy is the team of the day. This was great shit. Just great, great shit.
But now the Witch King, Mac Brown, is the only thing that has prevented App State from being, I don't know, top 15.
The only thing keeping App State out of the playoff is Mac Brown's team giving up only 40 points in a quarter.
40 points, yep. and a potential game winning, like, what, game time, game winning 2-point conversion that they got 2 shots at in the last minute.
Someone pointed out that App State scoring 40 points in a quarter against the single team they most want to beat and losing was their third most exciting game out of 3 games so far this year. Mm-hmm. What an incredible season already.
Normal sport.
I love that someone in Western North Carolina is going to take fifth year senior Chase Bryce, who is on his third team and who can throw the ball at best like 40 yards downfield. And they are going to make him their do-it-for-him guy, right? They're going to be like, I'm going through a tough time. They're going to look up at the poster. There's going to be Chase Bryce. And they're like, that's my guy. I can get through this. Chase Bryce is going to get me through this.
Speaking of App State, we love the Mountaineers, but say they drop another game. If they lose again, your New Year's Six front runner might be Tulane. 3-0. I believe I have this right. There are only 2 non-power FBS teams that are actually eligible for that game that are undefeated: Coastal and Tulane.
And Coastal played a tight one today.
Coastal won. Yeah,
Tulane. You don't just invite a linguist into your house.
Yeah. Tulane got the P5 win over Kansas State. Tulane picked up the transitive ass whooping of Mizzou today.
Now throws us into a world where Kansas is the dominant football program in the state.
Kansas is the best team in Kansas. And
Kansas
is
the
best team
in the Big 12.
Kansas is the best team in the fucking Dust Bowl. Like,
here's a very fucked up thing. Kansas is 3-0. That's a little fucked up. Kansas hasn't won 4 games in a season since 2009.
Yeah.
They just have to win one more.
Yeah.
And it's the best season in 13 years.
And who do they beat if they win next week to reach 4-0? Which undefeated team will they have defeated in the process? They will have beaten undefeated Duke in football.
Hell yes, Duke football.
Every 15 years, they create a corn golem out in the field, and it rises with a ferocity unknown to man and takes all those shucks and just goes and clears out an entire year for Kansas football.
It's not even like, what's amazing is it's not even like, oh man, you know, Kansas has squeaked by this game and they like got this. It's like, nah, man, Kansas is fucking putting it on people.
They were the highest scoring team in the country, and then they dropped 48 on Houston today.
which 48 brings down their average.
Yes,
they were
it
55.
Does. I don't think they're number one anymore because Ohio State dropped 77. But still,
yeah.
Kansas is used to being on the total opposite side.
And they went down in the game early. Rankings. They went down. They were down 14-0 in that game. So it's also not like, oh, if Kansas has just had everything go their way. It's pretty fucking impressive. Other teams. Do not come for Lance Leopold. You had your chance. You cannot have him.
Yeah,
he belongs to Kansas.
Too many y'all passed him over.
I mean, if six national titles, D3, you can turn your nose up at D3. The man won six national titles, and you didn't hire him after that, Nebraska. You let him go prove it at Buffalo. Take Buffalo into the fucking top 25. You didn't want him then. No,
Nebraska has much better ideas.
Yeah,
you don't love me at my Whitewater.
Go hire fucking Urban Meyer, who hasn't rebuilt since fucking 2004. Okay, like since 2004, what has Urban Meyer won in games in which seasons in which his team didn't have a talent advantage over almost everyone? He's won two games.
Urban Meyer has almost certainly rebuilt his marriage in the last 2 years. I don't understand.
At least from the public PR perspective.
I don't understand what he brings to the table.
Picture frames, mostly.
I was just from an administrative standpoint, because Nebraska already has extensive experience in covering up student crime.
I mean, I think Urban brings dances to the table. So elsewhere in good news, all right?
Next man up means something very different than Urban's in the club.
All right, let's just get it all out.
I want to point out.
Like Urban needs to. Just get it all out.
I want to point out this year, all right, in a year in which Kansas, Rutgers, Iowa State, Indiana, Kentucky, Duke, Washington State, Oregon State, and Syracuse are 3-0 at football, all right? We have at least one old reliable. This might be Colorado's worst team ever.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
that's saying a lot.
Really,
that's saying a lot.
Really, on for this.
They're
it
so...
might be Colorado's worst team ever. Entering today, let me run through a few numbers. Entering today, SRS would have had 2022 Colorado as a 5-point underdog against any team in Colorado's history, including the one-win teams.
Jesus.
Then Colorado came in as a 28-point underdog against a mediocre Minnesota. But I repeat myself. And then Colorado lost by 42, meaning they are probably now an even bigger underdog against even the worst teams in school history. They've been outscored 128-20, and their conference schedule has not started yet. And their last four games are Oregon, USC, Washington, and Utah.
Goodness gracious.
This is why if you have a state with two FBS programs, you have to make them play each other. You have to Apple Cup it.
Like so they at least get one win.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You cannot like Colorado State's not good right now either. And you cannot abandon them both to the possibility of finishing winless. You have to say one of you, A, will win, and B, will make the other one feel like shit because they lost to you.
Well, Air Force beat Colorado, so there's one win in the state.
You're right. You're right.
Colorado lost to Air Force.
Badly.
Like 31 points.
Badly.
By a lot. What do they do? What does he do when he walks in the office? Like, what do you do all week? The president, do you just walk down there and you're like, hey man, do you just want to play some Call of Duty? Just go ahead, because you're not making it. You might as well fire that Xbox up.
Quick update: NIL is also the number of touchdowns that Miami will have scored in this game.
Boo! Go to hell. Just go to hell, Ryan. Go directly to hell.
Jimbo's gonna be impossible after this. Just fucking impossible.
Starting now, Jimbo is gonna be impossible.
Big brain offensive mastermind Jimbo Fisher 17 points and is gonna be like, well,
scored as many points in an entire game as Iowa had in a game that was called by God after halftime.
Yeah. Slow down. Ooh, 17.
Let's do the math. How many dollars did Jimbo get paid per point this game?
Ooh. Not enough.
Yeah, somebody else do the math for us there, because that's a lot of math.
We did the per snap math last week. Let's do the per point math.
I think it's about 44,000.
A bargain at any price.
I was joking that, you know, you'll laugh when Miami kicks a field goal, but then, you know, who'll laugh when Miami ends up losing 17-13? And I was actually 4 points over.
Yes.
The estimated guess. Yeah. That was a joke. It's actually worse than that. Mario Cristobal in a big game is another captain that you might want to go ahead and leave in the cabin if he wants to stay on board. The passengers are gone. Yes, Mario, go ahead. You can stay in the cabin.
Thank you, Mario.
Yeah, UAnon is going to be absolutely intolerable over this, because prior to this game, there were big feelings on Miami Twitter about how they were completely back after this and were going to wax A&M on their home field, which, again, is reserved for championship teams with real inspirational figures like Chase Price.
And what'd you call him, Spencer? What was that nickname you gave him?
UAnon.
Yeah, watching their offense, I saw some U drops.
Of all the teams not to know to leave waxing to the professionals.
Yeah, this is... I knew they weren't back because nobody called me a homophobic slur. Remember, Miami's not back until they're calling you homophobic slurs.
You know who is, though? Texas beat a team from whichever conference UTSA is in.
No, I thought you were going to say Florida State.
Florida State is also back. They won a weeknight. It's Conference USA, sorry. FSU won a weeknight game. Those count the same as regular games.
Scott Satterfield is cooked. So fucking.
You know who Louisville ought to look into? Is this guy who's got Missouri State turned around? almost pulled it off at Arkansas.
I'm not familiar with his work.
He might win an FCS national title. So, I mean, I don't know. If I'm Louisville, I'm thinking, hey, that's not far away. He probably knows the area. I don't know. Maybe give him a call.
Papa's calling, as they say.
Bring that guy back, too. I don't know.
Your mind is telling you no, but your wallet is telling you yes.
But the win-loss column is telling you yes. Even though it didn't work the second time.
I was thinking about what would happen if Colorado and UCLA just swapped coaches back and just returned Carl Durrell. You could probably still get store credit.
Oh, no, they're not taking store credit for Carl Durrell.
Then you stash Chip in Colorado.
That was a scratch and dent buy.
In his own little island of misfit toys.
That's not even a buy. Because it's Carl Durrell, it's like, well, we found this in the garage fridge.
No,
it's
way
like
in
the back.
It's like
but
Nordstrom.
Still
they take returns forever.
The argument for Carl Durrell, one of them was that he has a house in the area and he'd like to retire there. That's never a good thing when you're like, why did you hire this coach? And like, it's closer to the place where he's going to grow old and die.
Because he's eventually going to not work.
There's low-key a great rivalry simmering between Colorado and Colorado State over who can have the dumber hiring process. Like, this is up there. I mean, that's up there with the Adazio reason. I don't think that it passes the Adazio reason, but it's up there.
Yeah, it's definitely lazier. Like, the Adazio reason is dumber. This is lazier. It's more like, well, he had a key card. So we figured we might as well just
all
hire
of his
him.
Stuff is this. Oh man, this is that relation. This is that couple that ends up getting married because, like, well, all of her stuff is here.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Definitely.
This speaking
after the flood, Carl Durrell was already living in the athletic office.
I was gonna say, also, Chip Kelly keeps asking me to buy leggings on Facebook, and I wish he'd stop.
The UCLA. This is another game that was amazing. Like there were three like mind-blowing coaching decisions today I saw that I've just never seen anything like them. There was the Troy thing. Mm-hmm. And then there was Arkansas on 4th and 9 went for it with a run directly up the middle into a Missouri State defense that is composed entirely of people who weigh 350 pounds, I swear. Like, they're all shaped like ice boxes, not refrigerators, ice boxes. They did not convert that 4th-and-9 attempt. And then there was South Alabama, up by 2 with 3 minutes to go, in field goal range, opted instead for a horrendous fake.
Who are they playing? And
not getting it. And then UCLA ends up winning by 1 point.
So something had, like, that can't have been what the play was, right?
They line up for the kick. And right. then it literally looked like a first time NCAA player hit the wrong audible button and they break out into a regular formation.
I don't know if you saw the footage, but they definitely, whatever that was, they definitely did it on purpose.
But it feels like half the team thought we were running this and half the team thought we were running that. Because it's also, how often do you see a fake field goal that ends in a sack? Think about how far back you start.
They should make NFTs of this shit, not of like coaching shoes. But this is never gonna happen again in real life, right? Like the odds of this happening again in real life are astronomical. Mint that in some weird fiat currency.
Yeah,
it'd be worth more than the Mel Tucker NFTs. All right, NF Tuck is plunging at the moment.
And then
if you invested.
And then we also need an NFT of USF's kicker almost soccer balling it through the uprights.
Almost
goddamn!
Almost penalty kicking a field goal.
Seriously, that was the best. That was maybe the most athletic thing I saw all day long. Like Brock Bowers made a catch 1-on-1, which was absolutely incredible. That was my first. The second is the USF kicker getting the worst hold ever and being like, "Fuck it, we ball."
Ago, Brock Bowers might be the exception to Georgia's not fun to watch right now because
he's so good.
He's disgusting. It's disgusting.
I am going to discuss Syracuse Purdue.
Go
okay,
on.
Because Syracuse, but I have to give you two important updates from action currently in progress, which is this. At the half, Arizona, y'all were laughing, up 17-14. On North Dakota State.
Give me the other in-state score.
I will. It's just so goddamn good. Eastern Michigan 24. Arizona State 14.
I hope Herm met with the administration before the season. And he was like, look. I know the hammer is coming. I really don't want to have to resign in shame. Let me be bad so you can just fire me for that. Like, let me just be a bad coach so I can get fired for reasons I feel better about.
That sounds unnecessarily sensual.
Okay.
Let me be bad.
Just hammer me later.
Oh, come on.
Deep King.
Stop it!
Now this is a new leadership model.
So Purdue played Syracuse in Syracuse in the Carrier Dome.
I love all the innuendos everyone said in the last minute, the most perverted shit is so Purdue played Syracuse and I have something to say about it.
Who made that dude. Call? Who do you think made that call? Who do you think came up with the idea? It's like, you know who we should play?
Hey,
or Syracuse.
Hey,
this is the weekend that featured Texas Tech at NC State.
That's true.
Yeah, the fuck, man? You were the same school. You were not supposed to find each other.
Tortillas are a form of textile, if you think about it.
This whole weekend's menu consisted of like the second day bakery.
Yeah.
It's technically food, but you might not feel great.
So the pseudo food here is spectacular because in the first three quarters of this game, a grand total of 19 points were scored. In the fourth quarter, both teams woke up and erupted for 42 points total in the fourth quarter. And you say, well, man, Purdue's obviously like the more high firepower kind of offensive. Yeah, that's true.
Not this year.
But they outgained Syracuse 485-306. All right, they had more first downs, and they controlled time of possession, all that good kind of stuff. They didn't even have that many turnovers. You say, well, how did they lose? I will give you all of the following things that Purdue did to lose this game. One,
you gave as an excuse, they didn't even have that many turnovers.
Yeah. One, Aiden O'Connell threw the ball directly to a tackle. He threw it straight to a defensive tackle, and he wasn't even that rushed.
Maybe he had kind eyes.
Hey, bro, have a good day. Have a day, baby. Here you go.
You don't know.
Threw it straight to a tackle. They missed an extra point. They missed a field goal. They allowed, on a 4th and inches, a 41-yard touchdown pass. And they had a final drive that I can only describe as Purdue. Because on the final drive, Syracuse had jacked shit, okay, and needed to score. And they got a penalty, a penalty, a penalty. The first penalty was from the special teams coach. I don't think I've ever seen
personally getting a penalty on a special teams play.
What did he do?
I've never seen that before in my life.
What did he do?
He was hollering.
Carrying on and such?
Like a conduct infraction, but I've never seen a special teams coach get hit with that on a special teams play. That was beautiful.
You know what? That's accountability. That's accountability.
It's like a little Limoges box. This whole day was just full of like tiny, weird gemstones that we'll never see again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this game was the weird thing that flashes in front of the camera at like 32,000 feet below the ocean, right? It's like, what was that fish?
Why does it have eyes there?
It was Syracuse Purdue. Yeah, that was Syracuse Purdue.
Oh, this shouldn't exist.
It has too many mouths.
But what capped all of this? That's right, a desperate heave from former Mississippi State quarterback Garrett Schrader, who you may remember from a spectacular helicopter hit in his freshman year.
Yeah.
He heaved the ball downfield for the game-winning touchdown. Just a complete disaster of a game. Three penalties, big heave, over. Absolutely perfect game. I hope Syracuse doesn't lose another game of the season, and every single game is this fucked up. Every single one.
And yet,
perfect game.
And yet, Purdue did not suffer the most miserable defeat in the conference, I would argue. I think that distinction belongs to Northwestern for losing to Southern Illinois, which is actually part of a grand tradition. So Northwestern obviously opened the season going to Ireland and beating Nebraska, because that's what Irish people love. Illinois beat Nebraska to start the year last year. That game was supposed to be in Ireland, but it wasn't. And after that, this is what Illinois did. They lost to UTSA, UVA, Maryland, and Purdue. Northwestern has now lost to Southern Illinois and Duke, I believe, is their other loss. Like, I think this is a new thing, that whatever middle to middle low tier team opens the year by beating Nebraska, they need to immediately just eat shit for a month so Nebraska fans can really, really, really feel bad about it. Like, this is good.
Are you
we should embrace
games
this
to these people.
Yes, that's correct.
I love it because, like, in every way, every single week, things get worse for Nebraska. Like, all the time, we find new floors and caverns beneath the floors, and like a center of the earth beneath that. And like, yeah, honestly, as a Nebraska sympathetic person, watching today against Oklahoma, it was like, cool. 40 minutes are left, and the game's over. This is way better than usual.
Yeah, I wasn't like rooting for this at all. It would have been way funnier for the team to suddenly have a huge uptick in progress after Scott Frost cleared out of the building.
Yeah, what? Like that would be a fun story.
And
but
they did that messed up thing where I always fall for this because I'm a fucking
idiot.
There's
just a little
idiot.
Bit of hope.
Yes, they started the game with the combo that tricks me every time. They got a three and they stopped Oklahoma on a three and out. And then they went on a touchdown drive, and my dumbass brain is like, oh, okay, that probably will continue. Those two things will probably go the same direction because I'm an idiot.
It's the shit where like, oh, you see that?
Upset alert!
Scott Frost was the person who didn't want that to happen.
Yes, Scott Frost certainly never jumped out to a lead.
Brian, you're not an idiot. You're an optimist, and that's just not a mindset that belongs or can serve. It's like putting a salamander outside in Nebraska. It's not going to do great.
In 2022, that might make me an idiot as well. So,
this just in, Nevada, Iowa will resume at midnight Central Time.
Thank you, God.
That shit's gonna imagine watching the Iowa Hawkeyes at 2 a.m.
I hope these kids are gonna play on Sundays.
I hope Brian Ferentz comes out like heavy eye makeup, wearing all black and shit.
Well, because he had a cabaret date after. Oh.
Wait.
You said heavy eye black, and I went in a completely different direction.
No, Holly, I think you're onto something. If Brian Ferentz had sex during the 2-hour delay, and they come back, and Iowa erupts for 40 points?
Burlesque number is just what the doctor ordered for that man.
I think that's what the lightning was. It's happening.
The power.
Finally.
Oh,
Brian Ferentz's loins.
That's what the Dragon song is about.
The gods salute you, sir. You are now a man. Take your father's place.
You have entered the halls of the worthy. You may now score more than 17 points. Iowa's season average, even if this game doesn't conclude,
yeah.
Their season average in yardage will go up. They have 206 yards. They've been parked for about 6 hours now.
Damn.
Services of Cedar Rapids, thank you for your contribution to Iowa football.
Throw the car into fifth gear. Shit.
This is against the number 98 defense in the country, but we will overlook that part. It's a lot of yards.
I want to salute one play and one player from the Ole Miss 42-0 defeat of Georgia Tech. It's Jackson Dart.
Oh my God!
No, it's Jackson Dart because with a 35-0 lead and scrambling to his left where he could easily have gone out of bounds, Jackson Dart instead said, "It's Jackson Dart time," and absolutely destroyed a man when he could have gone out of bounds. I mean, dropped his head and hit him like he was a fullback, like risking it all just because he was like, "You know what I'd like to do? I wouldn't like to go out of bounds, and I'd like to prove a point, even though it's 35-0. So, Jackson Dart, that's extreme Chad behavior. Salute. Salute to you.
Out of bounds is bad. They don't let you play football there.
That's correct. They have rules over there. Here, it's legal.
At best, you get to kick into a net or ride a bike or something stupid.
A bicycle doesn't go anywhere. It's fucked up. Stupid bike.
It's basically timeout.
Spike's not real.
I'm out with exercise. That sucks.
Ugh.
You know what I think is a miserable existence? Being a Cal fan. I feel really bad for Cal fans at this point. Because, like, if Cal had gone to Notre Dame and played a close game that went all the way to the end, and it's against 1-1 Notre Dame, that's fine. No big deal. You know, like, sucks. Would have been nice to win, whatever. But that they had to do it after Notre Dame lost to Marshall, a team that lost to Bowling Green today, by the way.
Which has lost to Eastern Kentucky.
And that they had to watch.
You're telling me that Scott Loeffler continues to rain down horrors upon Notre Dame?
And he always will. And that Cal had to watch the game-sealing interception get called back for targeting. The game-sealing fumble recovery get called back because the quarterback's knee was down. And then what could have been the game-tying touchdown bounce off two Notre Dame players' hands onto the tummy of a Cal player who was on the ground who couldn't catch it. And that's how it ended. Like, the cruelties that come with being a Cal fan at this point. I hope it was super fun watching Marshawn Lynch in college. Like, because I don't. What is there for you now?
They also have 9 gazillion excellent Olympic sports that they can root for at any time. I'm not sure how sorry I feel for them, despite my affection for them.
Okay.
I would like to second Ryan's sympathies for Cal, but also to note that no other fan base to me has as thick a callus on their brain and soul to deal with this.
No, Indiana is the other one, the most fraudulent 3-0 team in existence. Indiana had to scratch and claw to come back to beat Western Kentucky today.
Yeah, we got UCLA is in that mix as well.
No, UCLA is not in that mix because they don't go to the games anymore. They've just abandoned
They're on the quarter system, in the fraudulent three-and-out. Those people are moving furniture.
I thought you meant the Cal.
No, UCLA fans, they'll find out in a couple months that football season happened. That's fine. They're doing okay.
I mean, life is good.
How can you expect me to pay attention to UCLA football when it's NBA transaction season? Dennis Schroeder just signed with the Lakers. No. That's taking up all my time.
Listen, Cal football is the pet owl that somebody bought because they thought it would be a cool idea. And then they're like, no, it's nocturnal. It rips off all my pillows. It always wants to hang out and won't let me sleep. Yeah.
Also, it's really sick for some reason.
Also, it's literally burrowing into the ground.
Yeah. It's burrowing into the ground. Even though it's not a burrow owl, I think it's anxious. Yeah, like...
The stadium is anxious.
The stadium is anxious.
Structural anxiety should be a thing.
Don't look at me.
I think no one is. It's trying to hunt my youngest child. But it won't be successful because it's too small and anxious to do it. Yeah. Yeah, I think Cal football fans are, I think it still does cause them pain, but psychologically, I think they know what they are. I think they know their place in the universe and they accept it for the most part.
I guess so.
I would like to share comments from the Levitard show sharing the NIL quote, Ryan, with us. There's some superb ones in there.
Oh, a lot of people called you the F word.
Welcome
to the show, Miami. Good to see your back and form.
Yeah. It's good. There we go. We have one which was, hey, this is your show, guys. Call them out, pussies.
they're gonna fight us?
Yeah, they're gonna fight. We would have whipped Florida's ass tonight. Yeah, probably.
Absolutely. Probably.
Big deal.
Yeah. Two things can be true, my dude.
Okay, so you're as good as Kentucky?
So you're as good as USF?
Yeah, almost. Congratulations. We're all chasing USF, brother.
Wow. Tampa aspirational Miami Hurricanes. Love it.
The flagship. That's what the F in USF stands for.
Wow! The real South Florida.
Yeah.
Tampa.
Miami's not even in the state anymore.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that a lot.
This argument is on shaky ground, like your entire fucking major metropolitan area. But cheer up. Yeah. We'll all be dead in 60 years, but for very different reasons from you guys. I guess drowning is natural causes.
Depends. Wasn't for Natalie Wood.
Your whole ass city is sinking into the sea.
Clap, 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 clap.
We're going to get letters from Natalie Wood's family, mostly.
I was going to say, we're going to get letters from whom? They can't write.
Wow. They're not writing a letter. You know.
Where are you going to find a stamp in Miami?
I would also like to salute another team that we have not mentioned yet. Because
folks, you can reach us all at 38 Godfrey.
38 Godfrey, yes.
That is our supervisor. If you're a Miami fan and have complaints, that's at 38 Godfrey. Thank you.
Yeah, and that would be it is not really September unless we get peak September merit.
One more. Matt Brown. Thank you, Matt Brown. Miami is the first team since at least 2000 to record 27 plus first downs and score zero touchdowns. That is vile.
I would like to salute the
so much exercise.
The Maryland Terrapins, baby.
They gave up the turnover chain, and now all they're doing is moving the chain.
Calisthenics.
Yeah.
Why do you want to talk about the Terps?
Wait, they gave up the turnover chain?
Yeah, they did.
Well, there's your problem.
Yeah, I wanted to salute Maryland because this is September, and really, this is Maryland's month.
Is it time to beat Texas again?
Texas is scared of him this year.
Yeah, they're running. Sorry. Cowards.
Yeah, Maryland is indeed once again 3-0. Didn't include them in the list of surprising 3-0 teams because Maryland is always 3-0.
Maryland had 15 penalties in this game, apparently.
It'll be November and Maryland will be 3-0.
What the shit? 15 penalties hard. For 141
when you're,
yards.
When you're playing SMU, takes fight dirt with dirt. That's
cheating
how we do it.
Cheating is winning. And now 3-0 Maryland, feeling confident and comfortable, gets to play Michigan on the road. I'm sure this will go great.
Well, they will still have 3 wins.
Is that a? Do we count that as a Harbowl?
It's like a degree removed.
Yeah,
Harbowl.
Like a proxy Harbowl. I think that's fair.
Hey, did you guys watch the Northwestern game?
No.
No.
Okay, so I did. I was looking for a competitive game that wasn't Syracuse-Purdue. Jake Butt, who you may remember from being a standout at Michigan, has joined the Big Ten. Has joined the Big Ten broadcast team. He was in the booth today for this game with some other dude. Whose name that I do not recall. And at one point, Spencer, were you there? I don't remember who they were talking about. They were talking about like some 5'5" quarterback for one of these teams. And Jake Butt says this guy has the heart of a lion. And it's this point, it's a point in the outro where you can tell he has to fill more space. And heart of the lion is the correct thing, and he says it first, but he either had to fill space or didn't think heart of the lion was the correct phrase, so he just kept listing animals.
Yeah.
I thought I was having a small stroke.
Yeah. He's got the kidneys of a giraffe.
He ended with heart of a dog, and I was like, he's got worms.
Heart of a dog.
He's got multiple hearts. It's like, not cool.
Like heart of a dog, heart of a lion. What, just heart. A champion dragon out there. Heart, he's got a I think he was trying to get to he got that dog in him, but instead he was like, he has a dog heart.
There's
a dog in his brain.
Idioms translated into another language and then back into English.
It was amazing. Please put Jake Butt on bigger broadcasts so that we can continue this zoological journey. This is not a complaint. I want to be clear. This is the best thing that happened in the noon games.
He has overlarge adrenal glands of baboon somewhere in his elbow.
He literally has a dog inside of him.
Now we're back to Miami.
While we're talking about shit announcers said that made me snap my head. Whoo. Yeah.
RG3 well traveled.
RG3 was going to RG3 is
oh, we're going there. Okay. Yeah.
RG3 is on two wheels.
Everything that man says is something that nobody has ever said before.
Cuz he used the phrase premature esnapulation tonight, which when he used it, I saw the timeline just doing things like no, back off, abort.
I want you to think about something. One day Russell Wilson is going to retire, and Russell Wilson is going to become a sports television personality, and I want you to think about the insane teeth gritting shit that Russell Wilson is going to say.
Teeth great if you brush them with micro bubbles.
I have some more RG3 reporting. DMs from Troy. These are quotes according to Troy. At one point in a previous game, RG3 referred to a touchdown as an orgy in the end zone. I missed this one.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Of course, Michael Penix Jr.
Jason, you disappeared from the Twitter.
Yeah, oh, Jason, shit. You disappeared
whatever,
from the space.
Whatever, we can hear him.
You're out of the space.
Yeah.
Jason is missing.
We're anyway. Going to bring him back but in yes, just a moment.
RG3 did say orgy in the end zone.
Yeah, and he said the Indiana quarterback, everyone made the exact same joke about that guy's name. Mm-hmm. But we didn't do it during a nationally televised broadcast.
the free willin' Robert Griffin III.
I would like to offer you all one return to normalcy in this stressful time. So last week, Army lost to UTSA in overtime. And Army playing a close game or UTSA winning a close game is not particularly unusual. But this part was. Army was 13 of 18 passing for 304 yards and 2 touchdowns. This week, Army beat Villanova 49-10. 0 for 1 passing for 0 yards.
Thank God.
55 rushing attempts, 472 yards, 6 touchdowns.
Oh, that's much better.
Oh, we're back, baby. Yes. We're back.
Yes. We're home.
By my count, 12 different Army players got a carry.
Reading this Army box score is like taking your bra off at the end of the day.
Isn't it just like refreshing just to be like, ah.
You know, like when Arwen takes Aragorn's hand and she's like, some things are certain.
Mm-hmm.
She's talking about this, actually. Mm-hmm. She was raised an Air Force fan.
And Scott Satterfield getting fired.
Yeah.
Remember all the times he tried? He should have thought of this a lot sooner if he wanted to get out of Louisville.
I was thinking about this. Is it? This feels like a replay of Virginia Tech, where you have a coach who like has kind of a weirdly testy relationship with the fan base, who's openly flirted with another job that they didn't get, and you're like, well, let's just like keep it going. Gets off to a bad start, and now it's like, well, what the fuck are we doing here?
We don't have to get into that particular quagmire here, but in administrative terms, I feel like Satterfield didn't so much flirt as, like, bought a second minivan for his new family.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then had to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're spending a lot of time with that other woman. Yes. Yes, I am. Because I'm not long for this.
Dad's friend Diane?
Yes. The thing I wanted to discuss before we turned the universe back over to its rightful yes,
kids, your new mom is Brian Van Gorder.
Hello.
We hate him.
I don't like her.
I hope you like cold chili
in a can.
I wanted to speak that as anything. I think a lot of us in life take the easy way out, and I want to salute somebody who definitely didn't and wanted to challenge everyone else around them to rise to that standard by bringing them into the challenge with them. And that is because at this point, 12 hours and 27 minutes ago, in a 7-0 game with 10 minutes left in the first quarter, Abilene Christian's punt returner, Kendall Carlton, decided to fair catch a ball at the 1.
Yes.
With
fair
just,
caught it.
It took the announcers a beat, too. Like, they were trying to be... I think they had thrown to the sideline reporter, I want to say, at the moment, and she was just like... It's like, you know, when you're at somebody's house and their kid, like, brings in a dead rat, and you're just like, oh!
Uh-huh.
Kendall Catalan, sorry. And Kendall, by the way, when he did that, I appreciate that he was like, you know what? Most offenses, they want to take the easy way out. They want to go 50 yards or they want to go 60 yards. I know you boys want to stay on the field for 99 yards.
Every play in the playbook is available to you now.
Dare to be great.
It's all there. Yeah, dare to be great. Why don't you decide to play real football like you play video game football by taking it back to the 1, running out of bounds, and then racking up the most yards, points, and possession you can by going 99 yards.
I just read a stat that is going to make me a little sick, and I think I'm going to get off the space after this.
Wait, you're an hour behind us. What are you doing?
No, because of this stat. UConn went 5 of 20 passing for 24 yards against Michigan.
Yeah, nobody saw it.
It's Michigan. So many Michigan fans saw it.
Yeah, they have like spreadsheeted and cataloged it and are constructing charts and maps. Mainly maps. Forget all the charts shit.
The longest pass they threw, which obviously it's not that long with 24 passing yards, went for 9. Jesus Christ.
Oh, I have another bit of breaking news for you. Breaking news. At 11:58 Central Time, Iowa, Nevada has entered their third weather delay.
I was just about to say 24 yards is less than Iowa threw on one of their 2 scoring plays today. So when your entire passing day produces fewer yards than Iowa mustered in 1 play, it's hard to imagine anything worse than that.
If the Hawaii game finishes before the Iowa game, We are truly lost.
Hawaii-wa. The Hawaii-wa loop.
That's the Jason Momoa connection there.
Yeah.
Shout out on the Twitter space. The Southland Conference has outlasted the Big Sky Conference.
Big Sky Conference showed up late, too. I'm worried about y'all.
Southland is now our favorite FCS conference.
Mm-hmm.
Both of you, of course, tower
Wait,
over the
Jake
Ivy
Hainer's
League.
Wait, Jake Hainer's hurt?
The Ivy League, which would never stay up this late.
Jake Hainer is hurt.
I mean, I'm not surprised that Jake Hainer is hurt because things seem to fly at him with uncommon speed, specifically at his ribs, but I desperately hope this is not serious.
Yeah. Also, I don't know what the deal was, but Michael Felder has retweeted it with, "Guy hurt his dick." I don't know what game this is, but I thought if we were gonna end it on
follow Felder.
I love Felder. Felder will never tell you which game he's watching.
No, it leaves an air of mystery to Saturdays that I really appreciate.
And it makes you feel like you were really in on something when you happen to see what he pointed out, you know? Mm-hmm. Like you feel so in the know. I feel like I have tapped into the all-seeing eye. I'm part of it.
I know which guy hurt which dick.
I know whose dick. I know. I'm the one who knows whose dick hurts. Looks like North Dakota State driving to take the lead against Arizona.
It's Bobby Petrino. It's his dick that hurts,
usually. Oh, man. Especially today.
Yes. So to wrap it up.
No, don't wrap it up. Don't go anywhere near it.
What the hell is wrong with you? Actually, no. Bobby Petrino, wrap it up. Yes.
He can wrap it up.
Yes, definitely wrap it up.
I'm having deja vu. I swear we've had this exact same talk about Bobby Petrino's dick at some point.
And we will again.
Probably.
If he would stop giving us occasion to talk about it.
It just keeps coming up.
He's not going to go away, and he's not going to stop having a weird dick.
Yeah. Popping up. Is that better? No. USC 28, Fresno State 10. Pray for Jake Hainer. Arizona 17, North Dakota 14. But yes, driving for the lead. And holding steady. Eastern Michigan 24, Arizona State 14.
Okay, were we right all along about Herm, or were we wrong about Herm, but just for a short time?
We were wrong about Herm because we didn't know what to be right about. Does that make
sense? I think we were wrong about Herm because we briefly wondered whether we were wrong about Herm. We should have just
doubting ourselves was the mistake.
Yes, same with fucking Mac Brown. I will never second guess myself like that again. It's a terrible hire.
Just the media. Disrespecting brains.
the damn media talked up Mac Brown's hire so much that I began
quit.
To dissuade myself into thinking he was not good at his job. But
that's why I'm retiring.
The media said my wife's strawberry pie was watery and derivative.
I only see 1.5-star movies because I don't trust you.
The best is he's going to be fired, and Herm's just going to walk directly into the studio.
Mac Brown's not going to get. Oh, Herm's going to get. Yeah.
Herm.
Yeah.
No, Herm's going to walk. Herm will walk in.
What?
Just
leave
like
the field. Leave the field and walk upstairs.
Walk right up to the booth.
What's he going to go on to? Pac-12 Network? They're going to be like, we really don't have the money. He's like, I'll do it.
No,
for
he'll just
sandwiches.
He'll just walk right into ESPN. Everyone loves him there because he's so cool. They'll be like, hey, Herm, I heard you bombed at Arizona State. And he'll be like, it's crazy.
I sure did.
They got different rules.
He is really nice.
He's so nice. He's like the greatest coworker. He'll just walk right in and they'll be like, what happened? And he's like, I don't know. Want to get lunch? Like, yeah, that's Herm.
It's almost sort of like a, Herm, haven't seen you in like 4 or 5 years. Where you been? I don't know. I'm back now.
Every workplace needs a Herm.
They are showing on my television right now the end of the Purdue-Syracuse game.
It's so. I'm telling you, this was a masterpiece.
It's just the worst goddamn thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's terrible, but it's so specific. It's like a Hieronymus Bosch painting.
It is.
Legs shouldn't do that, and this feels amoral, but it's definitely memorable.
I think it's more like an Egon Schiele painting, frankly.
Yeah.
This is the funniest 1 a.m. conversation we've ever had.
There's a man in the corner.
Don't show that to children.
No,
it's art.
They're nude, but not in a good way.
No, they're crying.
Yeah.
All right, I have to go think about why I looked at a UConn box score now. So.
Yeah. You open the ark. You open the ark.
Dead dove.
Yeah. All right. So, everybody, thank you for turning out here for another flawless episode of Full Cast After Dark. We will be back next weekend to talk about... Yes, Holly?
Folks, 704-SOL-CAST. Let it all out. We will have your voicemails on the midweek show.
Not you, Hugh Freeze. Don't call Hugh Freeze. Don't do it.
Hugh Freeze, stop texting my boss.
Yeah, so shouts out again to Podcat Vic. SEC StatCat was here forever, man.
Hi, Eric.
Shouts out to, yeah, Travis Fan. Hey, Eric. What's going on? What's going on, Pete?
Southland Conference. All of it.
Yes. Hello to everyone who hung this long. I would also like to say that if you are at the Quality Inn in Auburn right now and you're not nude, get nude. It's your right. You own that building now. I expect it not to be standing in the morning. And you can just get on the plane butt naked. You have that right, Penn State fan.
Yeah, they sanitize those seats in between flights. So you should be good.
Unless you're on Spirit, then don't do it.
Yeah, Spirit, they're going to give you that taint charge. It's going to be an additional
$14. All these people are coming through Atlanta probably to fly home, and now I kind of want to go to the airport tomorrow morning and just camp out with breakfast.
Wait, Spencer, yep. you think there's seats on Spirit?
No, you got those little hangy straps.
Yeah, that's just dangling naked off the hangy strap
just,
going,
you just, you'd find
we
some,
are!
You find somebody to lean on. That's how Spirit works.
That's a $5. Words, that's it's a $5 lean charge. Sorry.
All right, y'all. We will see if Iowa's done playing football in time for next week's episode of this show.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.